question, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now look, we're here to learn. We're here to not to dictate. We're here to learn what God has for us in this dispensation that we live in. Because you got to remember, Paul had more than one dispensation.
Open the trap first, please.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes I forget to do that. But
we forgot last time.
I did forget the last time. Well, y'all just have to remind me because I'm an old dude and my mind don't work too good no more. Okay, if y'all will, just join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us and sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And by putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, we do have eternal life with thee. And we thank you for the knowledge of that. And Father, we thank you for all our spiritual blessings. And we know, Lord, that you took care of our flesh at Calvary. We know the flesh is no good, and we worship thee in the spirit. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. You know their situations, you know their discomforts, and you know the needs, and especially those that we spoke about, you know them, and you know their situations. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul is talking to this young preacher here. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And that's anybody. Anybody you see, you can uphold them to the Lord. And the way I operate on this verse right here, I may be cutting grass, or maybe fishing, or laying up on the bed or something, just whatever, and somebody's name comes across my mind, I pray for them because I do not know what the situation is, but I'll uphold them to their Lord because I figure he'd cause their name to come across my mind for some particular person and reason. I don't have to know what the problem is. You know why? Jesus Christ makes intercession for us, and he knows what the mind of God is. He knows what his will is in my life and everyone's life in this building right here this morning, and those that are not even in here. He knows what they need, so if they come across your mind, pray for them. And you see, when Paul said, pray without ceasing, how do you do that? You see, if you had to go back in the dispensation that Paul came out from, when he got saved in this dispensation, when Paul came out from that bunch that he was persecuting, they had to go in the closet and shut the door and pray in secret. Well, you can't pray everywhere. You're going to spend the rest of your life in your closet? I can pray going down the road. I can pray right now while I'm talking to you. I got a mouth and a mind, and I can pray while I'm talking to you. And I do a lot of times when I come to class. My prayer in my mind is, God, let me do what these people need and what you want them to see. And I'm like Jesus Christ said, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's what this class is about. This church is all over town that y'all passed to get here. If you wanted to play church, you can stop most anywhere you want to and play church. This is a Bible study for you to understand your Bible and to enjoy what God has for you in this dispensation, so you can't be tossed to and fro. And there are millions of people that are being tossed to and fro this morning with not sound doctrine. Now, watch what he says here. For kings, he's going to name these people we should uphold to the Lord. For kings, for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Well, we know we ain't living in a peaceful world today, no. It's in shambles. And I believe the world's in shambles today because they've turned from God. They have turned from the truth of the Word of God. And there are some right now that, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, that they're departing from the faith, and they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Satan does not want nobody to know the truth. He does not want them to know that. Now watch what he says. Verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." Would God have all men to be saved? Would God have people sitting in churches to be saved? Wouldn't he? Now watch what he says here. There's a comma in there. After saved. And come unto the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth of what? I don't believe it's coming unto the knowledge of the truth of salvation. He's already said he'd have all men to be saved. Well, how can you be saved? Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, me and Mr. Kitcher were talking about some of this before class this come up. Now, in Romans chapter 10, I'm going to skip right down to verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now listen to me. Did people in the Old Testament, back here, let's say that's Genesis to Malachi, did people call on the Lord back there? Well, if they did, were they saved? "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Did these people back here call on the Lord? Would the Lord save them if they did? Come on, talk to me. Listen, the most important thing that you can ever do in your life is to believe the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. I can teach you how to rightly divide this Bible. I can show you every person back here what they did for the glory of God. And I can show you those that did for the glory of God in the flesh fail. In the flesh, you understand? In the flesh. Paul said in Romans to Philemon that we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit, and have no confidence in the flesh. My flesh is sore. I don't know about yours, but mine's sore. And when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he took care of my fleshly problem. Amen. Now, you have got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, or you ain't. Now, let's just say something. Let's do something here, all right? Here, we got the Old Testament prophet back here in the saints. Here we've got Matthew through the book of John. Jesus Christ is preaching, training 12 men. There, these people, if they call on the name of the Lord, would they be saved? Well, let me ask you a question. Let's just say, here's somebody in the church, the body of Christ, that claims that they have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. They claim the doctrine out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Are they saved?
Yeah, they just...
Can they be saved by the gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Come on, beloved. Can anybody be saved by believing that they got to build an ark to the saving of the house? Do you know there was household salvation back here? The book of Hebrews of chapter 11 says Moses was told to build an ark to the saving of his house. In Acts chapter 16, when the jailer asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" You know what they told him? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Well, did they have to call on the Lord in truth in here? These people here in this town, how did they call on the Lord? They believed in his name. How did these people here call on the Lord? They believed that Jesus Christ died for them. Peter didn't preach that in Acts that Christ had died for his sins. He didn't even know that until Paul met him and added that to him. What about these people over here, Hebrews through Revelation? Do they have to call on the Lord in here? Romans to Philemon? If they do, would that save them? No, blood. This dispensation, when the fullness of time comes in, the body's full, the rapture of the church takes place, no more need for anybody to preach. You know what they're going to be preaching over here? Gospel of the kingdom, which will match just back here. Like Peter said in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. In other words, they can be saved over here that endure to the end, according to Matthew 24, verse 13. Got to endure to the end of the tribulation. I don't have to endure. Listen to me. I don't live by my faith. I live by his faith. And Paul quotes that to us. And that's a quotation out of Habakkuk chapter 2 back there in the Old Testament. Paul said that we live by his faith, not by our faith. Now, go to whole Romans 10. Go with me to Psalms 145. Psalm 145. Now listen, I know that Paul said God would have all men to be saved. That don't matter where you're at. God would have you to be saved. Then you come unto the knowledge of the truth. Psalm 145. I'll get there in a minute.
145?
Didn't I say 145? Psalm 145. Y'all have to bear with me because I may make a mistake. I'm a human and I do make mistakes. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Is that what he said? Okay. Do you believe if these people here in Romans to Philemon call on Jesus Christ after the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that they're saved?
No.
When Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? In whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ and be saved. How can you be saved today? By calling on the Lord. Now watch what he says in Psalms that I didn't read. Watch what he says in Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Well, go back to Romans chapter 10 and let's just see something here then. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Beloved, if you go back and check Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter and them tried to stop the crucifixion of Christ. So you know he didn't believe in salvation by the resurrection from the dead. In Luke 24, there's two of them along there. They knew Jesus Christ had been crucified, and they said, Jesus is walking with them, and they didn't recognize him. Then they said, this is the third day, and we don't know where he's at, and we thought it was he that should redeem Israel. Well, they didn't believe redemption was by the blood of Christ, did they? No, they didn't. They believed that he would redeem them physically through his earthly life. They crucified him. They didn't even know why he was crucified. Paul told them why. Paul's the first person that preached the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 9, the first thing Paul did, he went into the synagogue and he preached to those Jews. And in the synagogues, you've got Jews and Greeks. Okay? He went to the Jew first. They didn't receive it. Acts 13:46. He said, seeing you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Well, go to Romans 10, go to Acts chapter 14. Go to Acts 14. verse 1. This is right after he told them Jews that we're going to turn to the Gentiles. Chapter 14, verse 1. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both the Jews and also Greeks, believed. All Greeks are Gentiles. All Gentiles ain't Greeks. Now watch what he identifies in the next verse. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up who? The Gentiles. Those Greeks that were in the synagogue, when the Jews didn't believe Paul from what he was saying, that they stirred up the Gentiles. But Paul has got a message for some Gentiles over here that were not in the covenants of promise, and he didn't get that until Acts chapter 18, and he didn't tell nobody about it until Acts 22. And when he told them, he became a prisoner for us. Now, I want you to take two passages. Now, we're talking about calling on the name of the Lord in truth. God would first have you to be saved. You can't come unto the knowledge of truth unless you get saved. I don't believe you ever will. Now, you can learn scripture. You can memorize the King James Bible. But you won't come unto the knowledge of the truth of what God's doing until you get saved. Salvation is always first. And the only way you can be saved in Romans to Philemon is by the gospel of Christ. And Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He didn't say Gentile, because you've got some Gentiles over here that are not Greeks. You've got some Gentiles over here that were not in the synagogue. Now, I want you to take two passages. I want you to take 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and Ephesians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, we're talking about calling on the Lord in truth. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Well, now, let's go on right there a minute. Don't read no further. Now, what if somebody told you that this verse was in the Bible and they didn't tell you nothing else? You know what they're trying to do? They would be trying to tell you Paul's preaching the same gospel that Peter preached. And he never did. The closest thing that Paul and Peter preached together or about was the resurrection of Christ. Peter preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2. That God raised him from the dead to sit on the throne of his father David. That's a promise in the Old Testament scripture. So what did Peter believe? In Acts chapter 2, he believed that he would see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne over there. You understand? That's very important. You know why? Hold what you got. We'll get to this in just a minute. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Go to Matthew chapter 17. And there's a verse here that just fascinates me when I hear preachers preaching out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they got the signs up there going to all the world. When Jesus Christ didn't tell them to do that. You say he did. Well, when did he do that, though? Is the question. Now, you see, you got to always remember who's talking, who is he talking to, when is the time. You understand? So when God told Noah to build you an ark to the saving of your family, if Noah hadn't built that ark, Noah would have drowned it with the rest of the world. And according to your Bible, there were eight people saved by water. Peter, when he writes 1 and 2 Peter, he said, "Well, water doeth also now save us, not to put in way of the filth of the flesh, but to answer of a good conscience toward God." Beloved, you've got to know that when Noah was told to build an ark, God said, "I'm going to send down rain from heaven," and I expect Noah scratching his head, "What the dickens is rain? Never seen no rain before. God watered the ground with the dew. He didn't send no rain." He said, "I'm going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. The windows of heaven are going to be up." And I hear these knuckleheads talking about God will open the windows of heaven to you. You better hope he don't. You know what's going to come out of there next? Besides the Lord Jesus Christ coming for the rapture? Hell, fire, and brimstone. Check it out in the book of Revelation. These people back here in the gospel of the kingdom wind up over in the tribulation. They don't know nothing about Romans to Philemon, beloved. They wind up in the tribulation. There's going to be all heck breaking loose, if you understand what I mean. Now, watch what he says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, we will make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias." Was Peter planning on living on this earth? He sure was. Peter ain't going out in a rapture, beloved. Peter's message don't carry you out in the rapture. People just don't believe the book. Now, verse 5. "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And you know what Jesus Christ told these apostles? He said, "Whosoever receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me and him that sent me." And Jesus Christ sent the apostle Paul. And he sent him two different times. We're fixing to see that. In Acts 9, Acts 18, he sent him two different times. Two different dispensations in the gospel of Christ. You understand? This part here was hid in the Scriptures. This last part over here was hid in God, not in the Scriptures. If I can take you and tell you that Jesus Christ died for you according to the Scriptures, I am doing wrong in the eyes of God Almighty, because that would make you a child of the covenant of promise, and you ain't. That time is over. It'd be like taking Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, preaching it in here, and it won't work, because that time has ceased. God has set the church at Jerusalem aside until the rapture of the church, and then that will take over again in Hebrews through Revelation. Not until. Do you know why it's got to go? You just read it right here. Matthew 17, let's read some more about Matthew 17, and it'll tell you why. Verse 6, "And when the disciples heard it," who's he talking to? He ain't talking to the world, he's talking to his disciples, beloved. "And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid." Do you understand that any time Jesus Christ speaks in the authority of God, you can't even stand up in his presence? And I watch that dadblamed old Richard Roberts. He'll be talking about the prayer letters that people have sent in. And he say, "Oh, thank you, Lord." Said, "The Lord just told me somebody got a new hip." No, if the Lord hadn't spoke to him, he'd have fell over. And you know, I know I'm running a few rabbits here, but let's keep on chasing them because we ain't caught them yet. Go to John chapter 11. Let me show you something. I don't want chapter 11. I want 18. John chapter 18. He's on John chapter 18. Yep, give me a minute. Let me find it. In John 18, verse 1. Let's start in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples. Now, he's still with his disciples, brother, not the multitudes of people. Over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Now, verse 6, as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Beloved, you can't stand before God Almighty. You'd be flat on your face on the ground. Now go back to Matthew 17. Go back to Matthew 17. Verse 6 again. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. We ain't nothing but worms. God, this Bible says it's got a way of just showing you what you are in the flesh. Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We ain't nothing but grasshoppers. We ain't nothing but as grass that's here today and the sun beats it down and is gone tomorrow. Here a while and then we're gone. You're going to leave here. But God Almighty wants you to be saved when you leave here. Salvation is first, beloved. Not right division. Salvation. Make sure that you're saved. You may not have tomorrow. Today, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. This is the day of salvation. This right here is the day of salvation. This is the day that God would have all men to be saved. Get saved, then come unto the knowledge of the truth. You can't get saved in this dispensation back here, nor back here, nor over here. This is the day of wrath over here. This is the day of salvation right here. Now, Matthew chapter 17, verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise. And be not afraid. Well, beloved, if you ain't got salvation, when the rapture call takes place, if you've gone to sleep, you ain't going to rise. You ain't even going to hear the shout. You know why? You're going to be in hell. You can't get out of there. Once you're in it, you're there. Eternity. Forever. And ever. You think you get hot and thirsty sometimes in the summertime? Just think about it when the next time you get so hot and so thirsty, you can see a big old glass of cold water with icicles on the sides of it, and you just want it so bad. Think about you being in hell. You can't get it. You can't have it. It ain't available. And it never will be. Forever and forever. Don't play with your salvation. Be sure. If you got a doubt that you ain't saved, get saved right now. You ain't got to do nothing. All you got to do is believe. Believe. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord in truth. You can't wait to call on the Lord over here. You know why? You've heard the gospel of Christ. And if you go miss the rapture and go over here, you will believe the Antichrist. God Almighty is going to cause you to do so. Why? Because you're bad? No. Because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved in this dispensation. Now watch what he says here. Verse 8. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain. Now boy, watch this verse closely. Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, do you know anybody in the church that preaches Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that tells their people don't go tell nobody who he is? No. The first thing they want you to do, run out there and tell your neighbors, come over here to this church and join our church. Pay your tithes over here, walk the aisle for Jesus, ask Jesus to come into your heart, get water baptized, and God will save you. No, no, no. You know why? That ain't our dispensation gospel. What is our dispensation gospel? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say you may be saved. He said, thou shalt be saved. Now, watch what these disciples do. Verse 10. And the disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribe that Elias must first come? Well, has Elias got to first come before Jesus Christ will come again? Most certainly has. But watch what Jesus tells them. Verse 11, Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. You know what John the Baptist was doing? He was preparing the way for the Lord. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus Christ. He's preparing the way for the Lord, and that's a prophecy out of Malachi. Go to Malachi, next book to your left, going back toward the front. Go to Malachi chapter 4. This is one of his promises. And beloved, this is one of the signs of his second coming. Not the sign of the rapture. There are no signs of the rapture. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We've got to get back to these dispensations that was committed to Paul. Now that's where I'm headed again. Luke 1, starting verse 13. Now this is about the birth of John the Baptist. His dad is talking to an angel. Verse 12, let's go to verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Zacharias is in the, he's a priest. He's got a wife, got a son. He's fixing to have a son born to him. So he's got to have a wife. He ain't got a man for a wife now. He's got a lady for a wife. Okay? And what, let this stuff going on in the world today throw you about a marriage couple, a marriage between a man and a woman, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman. Now, in other words, watch what he says here. Verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense when Zacharias saw her. No. Sorry about that. Angels in your Bible are always men. Okay? They're never women. They're always men. He was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of the world shall be turned to the Lord their God. Don't you dare sit there without saying something. That ain't what your Bible said, is it? John the Baptist came to who? Came to Israel to prepare the way for the Lord. Jesus Christ came to Israel. He didn't come to us. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in the 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 again. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm trying to quote. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 9, 16, and I'm quoting Romans 1, 16. My mind, I'm getting terrible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, now watch, he identifies it, I may make the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Did Paul preach the gospel of Christ?
Yes.
What is the gospel of Christ that Paul preached to these people here? Now, we're talking about those who first trusted in Christ. Ephesians 1:12. Paul said that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay? That's very important. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Is Paul received a dispensation? Did he say necessity is laid upon me?
Yes.
He said, for a dispensation has been committed unto me. Well, beloved, do you believe that ceased? Some of y'all looking at me like I lost what little bit of mine I did have.
Yeah, I think it ceased.
Did the dispensation that Paul received for those who first trusted in Christ, did it cease?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, we got some of the grace brothers and preachers that don't believe that. You know why? They'll take the gospel here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, Paul said, well, let's look at it. I ain't going to misquote it. Hold Ephesians chapter 3. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll get in trouble for this, but I don't give a flip. You don't understand by now? I don't care what they say about me. I believe the book means what it says. And I just got a terrible problem about believing the book. I don't care what John Doe says about it. I care what, God, what did you say? Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Well, did Paul preach this gospel to the Corinthians?
Yes.
He sure did. Which also you have received and wherein you stand. Did Paul preach this gospel to the Romans?
Yes.
He sure did. When he said, this is the gospel that I preached to you, and he proved it to them by the Old Testament scriptures. Verse 2. This gospel that Paul preached, by which also you are saved. Are these who first trusted in Christ, are they saved?
Yeah.
Right then, as soon as they trusted, they saved, ain't they?
Yeah.
All right. Are they sealed?
Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says they're sealed. This gospel that Paul preached, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, I believe the gospel is being preached in churches all over the world by most every denomination. What are they saying? That Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day. And now, if you'll stop doing this and don't go there, don't eat this, don't say that, don't drink this, and come and join our assembly, pay your tithes, ask the Lord to come into your heart, get baptized, repent of your sins, then God will save you. No, no, no. You know what they're doing? They're mixing this doctrine with this doctrine here. You know what people are doing now? They're mixing this gospel and dispensation with this one here of Ephesians chapter 3. And if it's hid in the scriptures, it ain't hid in God. It won't work. Verse 3, for I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now hold the fort. Did Paul receive a gospel when he got saved? Did he?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me ask you something. Did he receive this gospel here that Christ died for sins according to the Scriptures, or did he receive the gospel that was hid in God? Beloved, he didn't even know this gospel that was hid in God until Acts 18. There ain't no booging way he could have received it. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And these preachers, if they hear this message, they better get on the bandwagon and trust Jesus Christ and believe God meant what he said. Paul received a gospel that saved those who first trusted in Christ according to the Scriptures. He did not receive the gospel that was hid in God. Wasn't made known. How can he receive something that he didn't know? And we're going to get back to that in Romans chapter 10 in just a minute. Now watch what he says, verse 3. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how did Christ die for our sins? How?
According
to the Scripture. And that he was buried. And he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Might as well go ahead and take Colossians chapter 1 while yet. You know, I expect we run more people off out of classes than we ever get them to come because we preach the truth. Amen. And people have gotten harder hearing the truth. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for what?
You
Gentiles. If, now watch what he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. How? That by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Well, was it made known back here? No. Paul didn't make this known until Acts 22. And in Acts 22, when he made it known, they said, it ain't fit you should live. We fixing to kill this dude. Well, they took him prisoner from then on to the end of his life. Paul's a prisoner for telling them people he's going to go to people such as us that ain't in the covenants of promise. Now listen to me very closely. You may not understand it, but just listen. If these people here, as those in Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, Paul said, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Earnest of whose inheritance? Both groups of people that God made one new man out of. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said, keep the unity of the faith and the Spirit of God. In other words, we got preachers that are not keeping that unity. You know why? They're saying these here people here in Ephesians are the same as those over here in the first group that first trusted that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures. No, Christ died for our sins according to the mystery of the gospel, not the mystery which is the gospel. Beloved, if I take these people here and say they're the same as these over here, these here were in the synagogues. When these people come on the scene, Israel has become Lo Amni, and that dispensation has ceased. No more. Now, the gospel of Christ didn't cease, but that dispensation did. Because Paul got another dispensation. Go to Acts 20. Hold the season. Go to Acts 20. Boy, that clock's gone fast since they changed the time on it. I wish they'd have left it alone. It wasn't quite as fast. They keep talking about getting another hour sleep. I didn't get another hour sleep this morning. I woke up the same time I always do, 5 o'clock. I don't know where these folks keep saying we got an extra hour of sleep. I didn't find mine. Why? All right, now in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Now, don't let this throw you now. Just pay real close attention. I'm going to try to slow down just a little bit. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Beloved, when Paul was at Ephesus, he established a church in Ephesus, those who first trusted in Christ. You understand? He got some of them out of the synagogue. They went into the school of one Tyrannus, and Paul preached to those people in the school. He established churches and homes everywhere he went. He wasn't out building with hammer and nails and begging for millions of dollars to build some kind of sanctuary. He had a church of people. Didn't matter where they met at. We're a group of people that believe the gospel of Christ for salvation. And we become, by the Spirit of Almighty God, baptized by the Spirit into one body. Whether it be Jew, Gentile, bond to free, male to free, male, black or white, red, green, yellow, it don't make no difference. In Christ, we are one. In Christ. You understand? We are new creatures. We don't know nobody after the flesh no more. We're new creatures in Christ, but not in the flesh. We're different in the flesh, aren't we?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you'd be a nut to say we're all the same in the flesh. We ain't. But in Christ, we're all one. And if you ain't saved, you ain't in Christ. You can hang it up. And if you die, you're going to go to hell. Or if the rapture takes place, you're going to believe in the Antichrist, you're going to go to hell anyhow. What is wrong with God saying he'd have all men to be saved? And y'all know what God told Paul to tell Timothy? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says God's the Savior of all men, comma, especially of those that believe. What do you believe for salvation? You believe some church doctrine that you got to keep for salvation? You believe some shenanigan that you can take a wafer and Christ is in you, and that's all you got to do without believing Christ? God said, whosoever shall call on the Lord in truth. In truth. All this church doctrine stuff ain't going to save you. Now, it may make a better person out of you. Personality and neighborly and all that. But it won't save you. You understand? Your never dying soul's going to wind up in hell for eternity. And God's going to give you a body that can feel pain. Think about Luke 16, that rich man. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. You want that? I don't believe you do. Now, Acts 20. This bunch of people, they established a church at Ephesus. This is not the people that he wrote to in the book of Ephesians. You understand? He wrote to some people in the book of Ephesians that he did not know. He said in Ephesians, after I heard of your faith and love unto all the saints, cease not to pray for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now, if some people don't never get the spirit of wisdom. They get a lot of knowledge, but they don't get no wisdom from God. Now watch what he says. Verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Well, beloved, he ain't made no mention of the dispensation that he's going to go to Gentiles such as us. He ain't a prisoner here. Paul's still at liberty. But I understand now he got the message in Acts 18, but he's got a messenger of Satan to keep him from telling anybody because it ain't time yet. Now, what's he doing? Verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. And you know what happened to him when he went to Jerusalem? Told them people he's going to go to the Gentiles such as us. He became a prisoner. to come across. And they tried to stop him from going over there. But you know what? Paul knew what his course was.
Yes,
he knew what his purpose was. He told Timothy that. Now watch what he said. Verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit of Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall fall me there, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Did Paul know when he went to Jerusalem he was going to get in trouble?
Yeah.
He sure did, but he went anyhow. You know why? He's a servant of the Lord. He ain't a servant of men. He's a servant of the Lord. And when you start becoming a servant of men, then you start twisting the scriptures and wrestling with them and say, well, you know, this is okay if we tell people that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. Well, when I do that, I put confusion on you, and God ain't the author of confusion. I must tell you the truth, whether it hurts or not. Whether you like it or not, I can't help it. Just the way God is. He speaks truth. Does not speak lies. He speaks truth. Now watch what he says. Verse 24, none of these things move me, neither count of my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. These people here that first trusted in Christ, were they saved by grace? Yes, they were, but they were in the covenants of promise. These people over here were saved purely by grace without being in the covenants of promise. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul said, but now the righteousness of God. He's talking about the righteousness of God is being revealed. How's it being revealed? By grace. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3 now. I got a minute or two here. I got, the Lord slowed that clock down when I said it was going too fast. See how powerful God is? Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, this thing, verse 5, this mystery, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now. Well, when if I found out when now is there, this is after Acts 28, when Paul wrote the letter. Okay? Is now being revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is that being revealed? That the Gentiles, he didn't say Greeks, did he?
No.
Over and over and over when we read this about this here, it's Greeks. It's Greeks. But when he gets to us over here, it's Gentiles. No way to get to God through Israel no more. Circumcision won't avail you anything. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Fellow heirs with who? These who first trusted in Christ. As Romans chapter 8, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ owns is mine.
Amen.
And God said, I own the cattle on a thousand hills over there. All the gold, all the silver is mine. He said, what you going to give me? He said, it's all mine anyhow. You know what the Lord's going to do with it one day? He's going to smoke it. He's going to burn it. He's going to put it in a pipe, smoke some kind of dope. He's going to burn this stinking thing up, and he's going to make a new earth and a new heaven, according to Isaiah 65 and 66. He's going to make it all new, as he did before Genesis 1:1 back here. Do y'all know what's so fascinating about that in Genesis 1:1? God knew every individual that would trust Christ as their personal Savior before the foundation of the world. And God asked Job a question in Job 38, said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? I know where I was. I was in Christ based on God's foreknowledge. I was already in Christ before I was, my mom and daddy was ever even born. In Christ. Spiritual term. It's not an earthly term. It's a spiritual term. Paul said, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavens. Now, watch what Paul says here. Verse 7. I apologize. I got to go back to verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Well, is there a body of believers back here in those who first trusted in Christ? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ. Well, who are they? That's Jews and Gentiles into one body. He didn't wait till he got over here to make one body. He made one new man out of both groups of people here. And you know what most folks, and even a lot of our grace preachers, so-called smart grace preachers that's got doctorate degrees, they didn't just come up on the root like I did out of a stump or something. They say this two groups of people are Jew and Gentile. No. This who first trusted in Christ are Jew and Gentile, and they are baptized by the Spirit into one body. Now that you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we are members with that in that same body. Ephesians chapter 4, there's seven ones in there. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, one hope of your calling. Beloved, this is the mystery of the gospel over here. You understand? When Christ died at Calvary, being known to nobody, not even hid in the Scriptures, but hid in God until revealed to Paul. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from, and he didn't say the fellowship which is the mystery. You noticed that, didn't you? The fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. It was not written down. These people here, their salvation was written down in the Old Testament Scriptures, but God had to keep it hid, because if Satan had known it, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory, and there wouldn't be no salvation for the church, the body of Christ, that he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. Boy, you can't beat that. We are special people, very special. And we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. And when God blesses you, he can't undo it. He can't curse you. He can't curse you. Go to one last thing. My time's gone. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I got to show you this. This is about the mystery of the gospel. I ain't going to be here next Sunday, so I'm going to take advantage of you today. I'm not going to take advantage of it. I just want you to see this one last point, and they're going to close. In Colossians chapter 1, let's go to verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you. Fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God. In other words, when Paul wrote this here, it fulfilled the word of God. You understand? That completed the word of God. Now watch what he says here. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now, not back here in those who first trusted in Christ, but now is made manifest unto his saints, or to his saints. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in You, the hope of glory. You that had no hope. You that were not in covenant or promise. You that were dead in your sins. No way to get to God. Paul preached the mystery to us. Now anybody in the world can be saved. And God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Lord willing, I'll see y'all the 17th. If not, I'll see you up there or somewhere.